translation. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Can I repeat that? Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The absolute truth is both subject and object, and there is no qualitative difference there. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are qualitatively one and the same. The same substance is realized as impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishad, as localized Paramatma by the Hiranyagarbhas or the yogis, and as Bhagavan by the devotees. In other words, Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead, is the last word of the absolute truth. Paramatma is the partial representation of the personality of Godhead, and impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the personality of Godhead. As the sun rays are to the sun god, less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization. But those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. As it is explained in the first slokas of the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Truth is self-sufficient, cognizant, and free from the illusion of relativity. In the relative world, the knower is different from the known, but in the absolute truth, both the knower and the known are one and the same thing. In the relative world, the knower is the living spirit or superior energy, whereas the known is the inert matter or inferior energy. Therefore, there is a duality of inferior and superior energy. Whereas in the absolute realm, both the knower and the known are the same superior energy. There are three kinds of energies of the supreme energetic. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic, but there is a difference of quality of energies. The absolute realm and the living entities are of the same superior energy, but the material world is an inferior energy. The living being in contact with the inferior energy is illusioned, thinking he belongs to the inferior energy. Therefore, there is a sense of relativity in the material world. In the absolute, there is no such sense of difference between the knower and the known. Therefore, everything there is absolute. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yenabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Mancha Kapa Truvyuscha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Satitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha. We are interested in Bhagavan and service to the Supreme Lord. These other features are different aspects of the Supreme Bhagavan. So that they're all the same but realized by different people. It's explained very nicely here. So we don't have to, we want to come up the danger of impersonal realization, when Arjuna asked Krishna in chapter 12, what is better? And he says, better is this personal realization of the Supreme Lord. Because it's all coming from the person, like the sunlight comes from the sun god, from the sun planet, ultimately from the sun god. We cannot see the planet nor the sun god because of the light. Right? So some people, they see that dazzling effulgence of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, and they're seeking that, and it's very wonderful, and then they can't see beyond it. Something one devotee that was raised in the Islam faith, he said that there's something that when Allah, when Muhammad, sometimes he would somehow be hearing from Allah, and there was 200 curtains, because the effulgence of Allah was so bright, no one could tolerate that, couldn't see him. Doesn't mean he's not a person. But Krishna can reveal himself, so the Ishapanishad says, Hiranmayena Patrina Satyasyapi Tamukam. That, my dear Lord, please remove that dazzling effulgence so I can see you. Krishna can do that. He can put the right glasses on or something. They can see. Like a welder, they have to put those big glasses and they can see what they're working on. Otherwise, they get blinded by the light. So Krishna can adjust the vision so we can actually see. And everyone really wants a person. So they're very busy thinking about different personalities. All perverted reflections of the Supreme Lord. But Krishna is very kind, and he comes in so many different ways. He comes in so many different incarnations, and including, spiritual masters and sadhus. They're all different representations of Krishna, trying to, reveal himself in some way or another. It appears as the Archamurti, Archavigraha, the deity, so that we can relate to him as a person. We can dress him and cook for him and gradually realize more and more. He speaks Bhagavad Gita. And somehow this Mayavadi idea that, he's not a person has entered all over the place. In any traditional scripture, he's a person. He talks, he walks, he meets people. Sometimes someone sees God, they see something, some kind of manifestation. Many times he's speaking, so that indicates a person. Although nowadays they'll even show that there's some non-person thing. Speaking, thinking, creating, designing. The scientists are against even the idea that there might be some kind of intelligence that designed the different forms of life and everything, because they're envious. They want to be the supreme. But if anybody would actually hear about Krishna and all the things Krishna does, then we have to understand that he's the supreme. He's the most wonderful. Everybody's looking for beautiful people, so-called beautiful people, but they're just beautiful bodies, usually, so-called beautiful bodies. And we can, if you go in the Tesco or something, so many magazines with the pictures of the currently considered beautiful people, descriptions of all their activities, and how they're enjoying conjugal affairs or breaking up their conjugal affairs. It's a perverted reflection. I know here this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. The real thing is to know about Krishna. So Krishna is so kind, especially in this age, he comes as Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda, and engages in activities which are very easy to not exactly imitate, but follow. Chanting, dancing, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, trying to spread the holy name. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they were going everywhere, chanting, dancing, giving people Krishna. And they reveal Krishna, and they heals himself and not different. So the devotee who knows Bhagavan, and we understand that there's Paramatman, but it's Krishna's expansion. He's in the heart of every living entity. We also know that it's Brahman effulgence. It's Krishna's effulgence. The devotees want to see Krishna. Arjuna didn't want to even see the universal form, and not even the forearm form. He wanted to see the original, true-armed form of Krishna. That's where the most, you know, varieties of pleasure are there. In the Vaikuntha, everyone is everyone's completely in spiritual bliss. Everyone has beautiful forms like the Lord. And they're worshiping, but in awe and reverence. They don't have that intimate relationship. But in the Goloka, this is where our Gaudiya is aiming for, then there's an intimate relationship with Krishna, friendship, and conjugal, parental, you know, loving exchanges, which are very sweet and wonderful. And everybody is, you know, in the material world, we're trying to enjoy such things. But without Krishna in the center, then nothing works. If I have a relationship with someone and we're both trying to be in the center of that relationship, that everything revolves around me, then it'll be very hard for us to both be happy. Have to trade off sometimes, maybe. Sometimes I can be in the center, sometimes you can be in the center. But if we don't put Krishna in the center, then it won't work. There can't be really a connection. People are just thinking they're connecting, but they're not connecting. You know, there's all kinds of illusion and Maya that trying to make everybody think, you know, they're connected. Maya's very, very tricky, you know, creating all these illusions and trying to convince people they can be happy. That what they do to seek happiness is so absurd. That, we were riding a tube yesterday and everybody's reading that newspaper, so that there was a big picture. The government, every Christmas time, they set up a special hospital tent in the, what's that big train station? You know, the one that goes all over the place. No, one of the, it's a, the big, you know. Huh? No, the one where you, like you come in from the airport. Anyway, they put up a hospital tent just to, so they can take care of all the drunks that just, you know, pass out and, you know, they're dying from drinking too much at the Christmas parties. There's a big sign in the subway that says, if you're drinking, be careful or something. You know, like, don't walk on the edge of the platform. You know, if you're drunk, what good is that sign to anybody? if you're falling down, you know, with spasms from enjoying too much, what kind of enjoyment is that? They're so foolish. But when we try to offer them the holy name and books and, you know, the simple life, no. You know, they have to work hard and then try to kill themselves to enjoy. They have no idea. But they want personality. They want person. And then when they get frustrated, they want to have nothing. They want to get away from everything. They want to not exist. You know, annihilate their existence or something. And they might take up these different nihilist types of philosophy, Buddhism, or different types of Maya body. Because all their relationships that don't have Krishna, they're never satisfied. They'll always be frustrated. But so if we're fortunate to hear about Krishna and continually hear about Krishna, and, you know, he's revealed. He came in Gokula. Just to reveal is, it hadn't been revealed, you know, previously in this, whatever, this manifestation, that, you know, this pastimes of Vrindavan and all the intimate relationships of Krishna and his friends and gopis and parents and cows and monkeys and even a dog. Krishna had a couple of dog pets and birds and everybody, all your relation with everything, the trees, and, you know, with every everything, Govardhan, Jamuna, all these personalities. So Krishna wanted to reveal that so that the living entities who are suffering in this mature world could become attracted and want to go back. But to become attracted, we have to hear about it. So he very kindly left a record, so many pictures, and so many descriptions, and scriptures, so many scriptures are there. It's got the Shirada Vandanishwara, the Jagannath Swami, wow, every day more bright and colorful. It's getting more and more blissful, I guess. The Sankirtan, the book distribution, and all that. Because when a very personal relationship to go out and try to introduce Krishna and the parampara to conditioned souls, it's said to be a very intimate service. Prabhupada describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is a very intimate service to preach the glories of the holy name, to preach the glories of meeting Krishna, serving Krishna. We're trying to give people Krishna. We're trying to give people the best friend. Krishna is the best friend of everyone. And that's an inconceivable best friend, because he stays in the heart and takes care of everyone, no matter what nonsense we get into, no matter what kind of a stupid body we take. Krishna's always there trying to get us out. So all these living entities are madly rushing, thinking that they have to run somewhere, and ultimately they're looking for pleasure, even though they're working, and the things that they do for pleasure usually end up with some sort of pain. The intoxication is a very clear example of that. They think they're enjoying, but the next thing they know, they have to call a special ambulance. They have one, they have one special one in London called a booze bus. Special crew that specializes to, because it's a very difficult to take care of these people that drank themselves into a stupor, So they have a special crew, and they have to call that one and pay a huge amount of money. It's quite busy. And the government provides like that, but they don't provide much education to not do these things. Like in America, they'll have a sign that says, if you're driving, don't drink, or something. If you're drinking, don't drive. And someone had just said, drink, don't drive. In other words, must have been put up by the liquor shop or something. Drink responsibly. And they have that here. Drink responsibly. What does that mean? Anybody know? Nobody can tell me what it means to drink responsibly. They pay for it, or don't drive or something. But when people get drunk, then they can't think straight. And they're intoxicated anyway. Queen Kunti described, John Maheshwarya Shuti Shivir Edamana Madak Puman, and by their birth, their idea that they have some kind of a high birth, which almost everybody thinks that their tribe or their gotra or their country or their color or their religion is some kind of a superior birth. The Hindus, they're thinking that the Muslim is a low birth. But in Haridas Thakur, when they took him before the Muslim magistrate, he said, why? What's wrong with you? You took such a high and glorious birth as a Muslim, and now you want to chant some low-class Hindu name of God. Why do you want to do that? Everyone is thinking like that. They're intoxicated. Janma, Aishwarya, by their wealth, if they have wealth. You see how the rich people are so puffed up. Thinking of, I'm enjoying. They really think they're enjoying. They think that I can do whatever I want, get whatever I want. And it's getting more and more insane. Some airplane magazine is saying how all these rich people, they come to London, from Now there's a recession, but the super rich people, they're not affected by it. They're still living in the Ritz Hotel for months at a time, flying their Ferrari cars in, and one rich guy in Miami, he sent his butler in a private airplane to New York, private jet, just to get one bottle of wine. Then because of people living like that and not at all concerned about anything except their own tongue, practically, maybe their genitals, then so many people are suffering because those people are taking such a big share, you know, and they don't care about others. And the only real help anyone can do is, you know, if people learn about Krishna. Otherwise, Janmashruti, if they have some education, they're puffed up. And like Prabhupada gave us that drama, the bold man, you know, puffed up scholar. And we meet them all the time. You know, I've got a big education, PhD, important, I'm superior. Then Shruti and she are someone who's beautiful and they're also puffed up. But that, none of those things can last very long. And these so-called beautiful people, the beautiful bodies, you know, they spend so much money trying to stay beautiful, so much anxiety, cosmetic and surgery and all these things, right? Trying to remain beautiful. There's so much anxiety that if they start to get old and they're not going to be beautiful anymore. Or if a rich person is so worried, if he loses his money, he won't be popular, he won't be able to live, he won't be able to enjoy. So they're intoxicated, and Prabhupada said, in spite of all that intoxication, then they take wine or something, get more intoxicated. They're just mad, mata. These are the enemies. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Matsarya, Moha, and Mada, madness, insanity. And what is the, now they say in this century, the most prominent illness is mental illness. Depression, and, you know, anxiety, and all the different things, and then because people are trying so hard to enjoy what's impossible to enjoy in the material body. So devotees are very compassionate. And they're trying to, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they exhibited this extreme compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Lord Chaitanya is Namo Mahavadanaya, the most magnanimous, because he's giving Krishna Prema. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Giving freely. Devotees are going out all over the world, just distributing the holy name, giving it, begging people, please chant. Like that one Gadadhar Das, he's going door to door every day. Lord Chaitanya's associate, asking everyone to chant. And one Muslim guy would always say, no, I won't chant. Get out of here. He kept coming. Finally, he said, all right, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Just go away. And Gadadhar became ecstatic and dancing and joyful. And he said, why are you, I said I would chant tomorrow. It meant he wasn't going to, just get out of here. Like sometimes people give us a donation if you go to an office. And get out, they give something and just so that you don't bother them anymore. And then Gadadhar said, you already chanted, already you said Hare Krishna. So he was so happy, because if they say only once, something will happen. Even people hear it and they don't say it, they don't want to respond, but gradually they'll we see it if we just encourage someone to say the holy name and they become very happy. Hare Krishna, many places. Sometimes it's hard for them, but they just finally say it, and they start to laugh, they become very happy. You have them read their mantra or something off the card, and they become very happy. So devotees are trying to distribute that everywhere, broadcasting, loud chanting of the holy name, loud music so that it can be heard. And book distribution, and Prabhupada said that's the big Mridanga that is heard all over the world. People get a book here, but they don't know where they're going to go with it. We have stories here. People, you know, taking books to faraway places, and someone else found it there. And it happens all the time. But any place is far away in London. People take the book, they read, their friend reads it. So devotees are very determined. They want to give this. It's like Krishna. That's why Krishna came. He revealed himself. He spoke Bhagavad Gita. He revealed all his, you know, intimate pastimes as the Supreme Personality Godhead. But not just as the all-powerful Lord or some kind of fearful, you know, punisher or anything like that. Krishna, he exhibited these loving relationships in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya's relationships with his devotees, very loving, all in the friendship and that rasa, but everything is there. All rasas are there. Lord Chaitanya's Radha and Krishna, and his Sankirtan Leela, the same as the rasa Leela. We have one picture in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're very fortunate we were able to participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Inconceivable good fortune. So devotees, even we don't fully understand or know about it, but somehow or other, when we do it, when we go out and we try to distribute books, or we go out and do the chanting, or we go out and distribute prasadam, devotee becomes ecstatic. They become totally blissful because they're actually contacting them. Association of the Supreme Lord and developing that relationship more and more by intimate service. This preaching is very intimate service. It's a special mercy of Krishna to allow a devotee to represent him like that, to go out and represent Krishna, introduce people to Krishna, talk about Krishna, remember Krishna. Because when we're showing the book, we have to remember Krishna. Right? The book is Krishna. The pictures are pictures of Krishna. You know, everything is Krishna. The special mercy to keep us connected. And Prabhupada, you know, that he gave that, and the rascals say, well, he went to America to sell his books and make money, and, you know, he's a businessman. But he went because it was the order of his spiritual master, and out of compassion for the living entities, to give them the Krishna. So he worked so much. Every time we read the Lilamrita, how much in his struggle, but that struggle is ecstasy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's a labor of love. You know, service to the Supreme Lord. It's a labor of love, like a mother. It's not easy to take care of babies and children. It's many, many tapasya, many different, you know, things come up, but the mother has loved it out of love. So a devotee trying to serve Krishna, there's many different difficulties that come. Tests come. Ultimately, everything is a test from Krishna. Are you going to depend on me? Are you going to keep trying no matter, you know, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel or something. You're not feeling ecstasy, but are you going to keep serving anyway? Because devotees not seeking out the gopis, they didn't want Krishna to reciprocate. And our transcendental goal is the mood of the gopis, like the six Goswamis, always looking for Krishna, always wanting to serve Krishna, always wanting to give everything to Krishna, not asking for anything in return. That's a pure love, proper way to serve anybody. Like a mother with this new baby, they're not expecting the baby to give them anything. They're just happy to serve. That's the closest thing we'll find. The gopis, they did not want Krishna to reciprocate, to give them any. They only want to give to Krishna, but Krishna's nature is that he has to reciprocate. He's grateful. So whatever we do for Krishna, even small thing, he's always thinking, how can I repay this devotee for his service? What can I do for him? And even if we make some offense to Krishna by mistake or, you know, by bad habit, Krishna doesn't take it very seriously. He doesn't think, oh, now I have to punish. He only wants to give. He wants to give himself. But Krishna's not cheap, so we have to have that. We want to give. We want to serve. We want to surrender. Do what Krishna wants. Chant the holy name all the time. Do whatever is necessary to give the holy name to. You know, make plans. I was thinking last year during the festival, so many Sankirtan devotees, but when I joined, we were always talking how we're going to take over the world, and, you know, that's our mission. But then I thought, we haven't heard that for so long. I heard one, Tamal Krishnaraj, one class, and the microphone wasn't working. And they kept trying to fix it, you know, and it was... And he finally said, no wonder we haven't taken over the world. You know, we can't even make the microphone work. Here, we have the microphone working. But if you think, if we look, that Lord Chaitanya's golden age is happening. It's just beginning, according to scriptural schedule. It started in the centennial year, the 10,000 year time. Of course, the first 500 years after Lord Chaitanya, getting ready for that. But in the 500th anniversary, that's when the 10,000 year period officially started. But we see there's so many movements of, you know, vegetarianism, different things that are part of Sankirtan movement. But also we should understand that the Sankirtan movement is a cutting edge, a leading edge, and it's opening up the way that the people that are really taking shelter of the holy name, because that will really protect us from Kali Yuga. Kali, what we were hearing the other day, is, you know, intensifying all these. He's promoting so strongly gambling and illicit sex, intoxication, you know, is something very desirable. Right? Even though there's one small sign in the subway there that says, if you're drinking, be careful, there's a huge sign that tells you how wonderful Jack Daniels is. Right? I went to the holy place of Lynchburg, Tennessee. That's where the Jack Daniels, they have special water there. It's a big tourist place. You know, they come to see the Jack Daniels factory. And then they, now we're hearing about the environment and how much land is wasted to produce meat, but also to produce whiskey and beer and wine. So much land is used just for that. Tobacco, Prabhupada pointed out. You know, they're saying there's a shortage of food, there's too many people, but then there's so much land that's just wasted to produce. Of course, after they get the alcohol out from the grains there at Jack Daniels, and they feed all of the leftovers to the cows. So they work together, the different demoniac principles. But we go to those places to preach, of course. We go everywhere to preach the holy name. The devotee's farm is near there also. But they advertise that so big, so many different kinds of whiskey and so many different stupid movies and everything. And one little one, be careful if you're drinking. It doesn't say don't drink. Just be careful. In some countries where they have newer subways, you know, they have a complete wall so you can't fall on the track. You know. The door doesn't open until the train stops. Because in Japan, they jump in front of somebody. So they have to protect the people. They should be funding, Prabhupada said, they should be helping us. They should be giving us facility to distribute the holy name, have the kirtan halls, and distribute prasada, you know, give people higher taste. So that if we're chanting, we'll get that higher taste. If people chant the holy name, they associate with devotees, then they'll feel pleasure and they won't be so much, they can change. They have to get to higher gates. They have to give them. That's why we have restaurants. That's why we have food for life. We have all these different facilities to try to elevate people, purify them, give them prasadam, let them hear the holy name. You know, let them have a book, let them associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha. Just even one moment association. That's one of the first instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave Sanatana Goswami. Associate with devotees. Asat Sangha Tagi. Vaishnava Char. Give up association of temporary things. And so, you know, perform Vaishnava activities. Maya is, you know, trying every different way to get everybody. If there's a big kirtan, it pulls people in. There's, you know, when we go out chanting, people, they like it. They may join for a few seconds. They may go home talking about it. What are those, why do those people do that? What is that? Then they're getting purified. When they get a book, you know, they get purified. They do some service. We're trying to engage them in Krishna service as much as they can donate to connecting to Krishna. Krishna is very kind. He's doing everything. Trying to, Lord Chaitanya is especially all the, he exhibits all the, because he's the Radha and Krishna. Radharani is the super compassionate side of Krishna, feminine aspect, and, you know, just wants to help everybody. A devotee doesn't, he cannot tolerate to see suffering people, so he's always trying to give them Krishna because he knows that's the only thing that's really going to help them. Other things have to be there, but if you just make a nice material situation for people but there's no Krishna, then they won't really be happy, and at the time of death they're going to have to collect all their karmic reactions. But if they get Krishna, then they can be liberated. So we're most fortunate to be in Lord Chaitanya's movement, be in the Association of Devotees. It's an inconceivable good fortune. Especially here, I'll have to say, after traveling many places, it's always especially nice to come here when there's such a preaching spirit, so many devotees in the temple, visiting the temple and going out to distribute a book, even for a couple minutes on their lunch break, or, you know, doing Harinam, coming from far away just to do Harinam. All these things are, you know, special mercy, and especially pleasing to the Lord. This is our real mission. That's why we're in the city, you know, so that we can contact so many people so easily. It's not for any kind of comfort, that's for sure. Right? Any material comfort, but it's for spiritual comfort. It's a very good facility Krishna has given. Radha Vandaneshwar has provided, and very happy to see so many people coming for darshan, for chanting, for prasadam. So please carry on. We can make it bigger and bigger and bigger. Have many, many temples in London. Millions of devotees. They're all devotees actually, but they don't know. We have to inform them. Gradually, one by one, people are learning. So we're after Bhagavan. When one realizes Bhagavan, he automatically knows Paramatma and Brahman. Some people have less understanding. Prabhupada gave a very simple example of the train. I guess it's when the train was first coming to some village in India. The railroad. So nobody knew what it was, but they knew it was coming. The railroad. So, you know, they're waiting and watching. And then a big cloud of smoke showed up from far away. So one guy thought, now I know what the train is. It's a big cloud of smoke. You know. And then he went off to tell everybody what the train was. And then the next, someone else waited longer until they could hear it and see it and everything, and they thought, now I know what it is. Then another person waited and got on and went in and saw the train and the people and the, you know, the food car and all these things, and then he knew much more about it. So, you know, the different perspective of the same thing. Different people will see the same thing differently. So it's always Bhagavan.
But someone may not, they're not for some reason able to see, they only see the glaring smoke. The devotees are praying, I want to see past that, I want to see Krishna. I want to be with Krishna, I want to serve Krishna. And Krishna very kindly giving us all the chances, deity form, and devotees to serve, and books, all these personal things. So we're very fortunate. We have to always remember how fortunate we are and thank Krishna at every moment for giving us opportunity to serve. So thank you all very much. Any comment or question? Today is what? Day 12? Okay, no questions. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.